We catch up on some local events today that occurred this past week prior to the holiday. The St. Petersburg Downtown Neighborhood Association gathered in the evening to hear a presentation from Ann Vikstrom of the City of St. Petersburg on the Downtown St. Petersburg Waterfront Master Plan.
Thank you so much for having us here tonight. I'm Ann Vikstrom, as he said, with the Urban Planning and Historic Preservation. And I will be talking about the Downtown Waterfront Master Plan update. And this update is really kind of a celebration of what has been accomplished in the past 7 years. So it's really a very positive and exciting thing. And I think you're really going to be surprised when you see how much that has been accomplished. The downtown waterfront is one of St. Petersburg's greatest assets, and our city leaders throughout the years have really had great foresight in the preservation of these waterfront lands, spanning nearly 7 linear miles from the north end to the south end. Sorry, I had to see. There we go. Okay. The agenda tonight provides a brief overview of the master plan, of the framework of the master plan, the key action improvements since the adoption of the plan, and the different stakeholder meetings and public workshops that we have had, and then where we are in the process right now. The existing Downtown Waterfront Master Plan was adopted in June 4th, 2015, after months of community meetings, and it reflects the community's vision for the waterfront. It contains both a conceptual master plan and then a policy framework of guiding principles for decision making. It is a very conceptual plan. The June 2022 marks the 7-year review and update required by the city charter and the land development regulations. And as part of this update, we are not going to rewrite the plan, but we are evaluating or getting a status of each key action contained in the master plan. And there's a lot of key actions. I can tell you that. The framework of the master plan includes comprehensive needs that are really basic values to be applied to our waterfront. And then there are overarching dimensional themes and character districts, both having sets of key actions under them. The character districts are more locational for each park area. And then the dimensional themes are more like transportation or environmental. And the key actions are listed by levels of enhancement, including baseline, targeted, and transformative. The comprehensive waterfront needs are really values for all the districts and facilities, and we review them together when we're looking at new projects. We look at social equity and diversity, climate change, resiliency, water quality, basin and shoreline protection, transportation and circulation, arts and culture, just to name a few. The dimensional themes are like stewardship of the waterfront environment, which is really the relationship between the natural and the built environments, enhancing the experience of the water. An active waterfront park system is really diversifying activities to meet all of our changing community needs. Economically vibrant downtown places and a connected, accessible downtown waterfront, which is providing continuous linkages, parking, and public access. The framework for the character districts include Coffee Pot District at the north end, then going to North Shore District, the Pier District, South Basin District, Bayborough and Salt Creek District and the Lassing Park District at the southern end. The key actions are potential improvements based on the dimensional and character districts with three levels. And the first level is baseline, which are very low-cost items like benches or new trees. Then we have targeted enhancements, which are more like putting in visitor docks or additional restrooms. And then transformative are large-scale changes with regional impacts, like adding new breakwaters at the pier. There are, as I said before, there are many duplicative key actions in the plan, and what I'm going to do is identify the key actions that were implemented by district, and I'm going to try to leave out all the duplications as best I can, but this is what we have done in the past 7 years, and it's going to go real fast, and there's a lot of pictures, so it'll be easy to follow. But we start at the Coffee Pot District at the northern end, and it includes the multimodal trail. The completed key actions include the new playground, new stormwater ponds, native plantings, improved site access with parking along First Street. It includes maintaining informal green spaces, provision of wayfinding and bike access on the North Bay Trail, child-friendly events for neighborhood associations and civic organizations, and continued maintenance. The North Shore District extends from the Coffee Pot Bayou south to Fifth Avenue North. This district has a very sensitive ecosystem along the seawall extending to the pier, providing an estuary for sea life and birds. The key actions include planting seagrass beds in this estuary to provide and protect marine life and the shorebirds. We saw really the importance of maintenance and water quality after last year's red tide, and I'm sure living down here, you also were able to smell the beautiful aroma of red tide with it. The North Shore District has nodes of activity for recreation, and new facilities included the fitness center, beach volleyball lighting, a playground, and resurfacing of the tennis courts, and as part of the art installations, a colorful mural was painted on the old 11th Avenue Pier. There are large expanses of passive park and large informal open space areas with vistas to the water. North Shore has many child-friendly events, including the St. Pete International Folk Fair and also Mainsail Art Show this weekend. So please get down to that too. Additional key actions include multimodal trails used by pedestrians, bikes, and roller skaters. And the city provides rentals of bicycles and scooters throughout these parks. The Pier District includes, obviously, the St. Pete Pier with a 26-acre park and 5 acres over water. The pier has won over 25 international, national, state, and local awards for its design, and it has over 80 events a year and has, I could not believe it, but they have had over 2.5 million visitors a year, and it has been a huge success for the city. Yeah, that's a big number. The key actions for the pier include informal open spaces and quality green spaces, including the tilted lawn, also used as an event space. We have pedestrian access with a promenade along 2nd Avenue from Beach Drive to the end of the pier, and then wide sidewalks located along the pier to the water's edge. We have Spa Beach was restored and expanded with site furnishings and breakwaters to protect Spa Beach from wave action and build up shallow estuary to improve the water quality. And I always have to add that at Spa Beach, the coverings they have, they all have sunscreen in them, so you can sit under them and not get burned. The coastal habitat and stormwater pond plantings are provided as demonstration projects to enhance the water quality. The pier has integrated art in the pedestrian promenade and marketplace with murals on the foldable market kiosks. And major artworks are located throughout the pier, including Bending Arc, Morning Stars, First Flight, and Myth. The pier has child-friendly activities, including the splash pads, playgrounds, Tampa Bay Watch Discovery Center, which is host to weekly children's programs in the amphitheater, teaching about ecology, sustainability, marine life, and scholarships are available for summer camps based on income ability. Business opportunities at the pier include the marketplace, and which is an incubator for owner-operated and minority businesses. There are 5 restaurants and concessions throughout the pier offering many price points on the menu. The Cross Bay Ferry provides water transportation between Tampa and St. Pete, and it's located in the North Basin, but it should be moved to the pier within 2 years. And seating and wayfinding is provided throughout the pier district. And it has many modes of transportation to the pier and around the pier with the downtown looper. We have an additional stop at Bayshore. The Sunrunner Bus Rapid Transit will be opening this year and offering public transportation from the pier to South Pasadena and St. Pete Beach, or not exactly from the pier, but from the downtown area. And bike share program has bike scooters and over 100 corrals throughout the downtown area. The pier offers tram service to pedestrians, and parking at the pier was relocated from the water's edge and is provided with, some of it has solar panels over it, along with the marketplace for energy efficiency. So that's a lot to say about the pier. The South Basin District is south of the pier, extending to Albert Whitted Airport. And key actions include improvements to Al Lang Stadium soccer field and murals at the Sailing Center. Albert Whitted Park holds several child-friendly events and has educational signage for the solar energy restrooms, which I never knew they had solar energy restrooms there. Informal green areas have been provided in Demon's Landing and Albert Whitted Park. Bike trails are extended from Bayshore and Dolly Boulevard to First Street Southeast, and large planters were placed as buffers between the bikes and scooters and vehicles. An ADA bus stop is provided with bike and scooter corrals, and a new shade shelter was located in Albert Whitted Park along the water's edge. The Bayboro and Salt Creek District extends from Albert Whitted Airport to Lassing Park, and the changes include improvements to the USF St. Pete campus, expanding west of 3rd Street. And the U.S. expansion includes the Lynn Pippinger Hall, the Osprey Suites Residential Hall, the Piano Man Building, and the Warehouse Lab. And several murals have been added there, which is really, people love the murals in St. Pete. The district is within the Innovation District and includes higher education, marine science, health care, business incubation, and media studies. The Innovation District has child-friendly events, including the annual Marine Science Fair and other educational programs and camps. Transportation key actions include large planters, again, that buffer along First Street for the bikes and scooters that have been added to the campus. And finally, Lansing District is located between 15th Avenue Southeast and 22nd Avenue Southeast. And the key actions include seagrass planting and the Tampa Bay Watch Habitat Restoration and Living Shoreline Program. This is part of the Community Oyster Reef Enhancement Project that will stabilize 700 feet of shoreline and provide hard bottom habitats for fish and wildlife resources while promoting water quality in the area. Site furnishings were provided in three areas for pedestrians to access the park and have water vistas, and a pedestrian and bike path was installed at the north end of the park to connect 15th Avenue Southeast to the park and allow access to the neighbors in the park, which didn't have access before. And again, the neighborhood associations actually host the children's events in the park. There are a few, several ecological key actions that were not included in the specific character districts, and these include the stormwater master plan policies to reduce and prevent debris from entering the open water. Enhanced water quality and monitoring is addressed in the Integrated Water Resources Master Plan Best Management Practices, and low impact design guidelines maintain passive parks in critical flooding areas. And the city continues its intergovernmental coordination with the various other government agencies and like the Tampa Bay Estuary Program, among others in the area. We've been holding the stakeholder meetings and workshops. It has included just a presentation of the status assessment of the key actions. And we, the stakeholders, you all are invited to, in the evaluation of the progress, and recommend priorities that you may have. The stakeholders' comments so far have ranged from concern about the amount of impervious surfaces to providing bicycle repair stations, support of the conversion of Bayshore Drive to pedestrian street, addressing coastal resiliency, environmental stewardship, and providing specific facilities in the parks. And where do we go from here? So far, as I said, we have been prepared and updated the key actions, a status report of them. We've been holding these public workshops and stakeholders meetings, and City Council is scheduled to adopt the update as an addendum to the existing master plan at the beginning of June, and the city will really continue to identify and prioritize the next projects on an annual or semi-annual basis. I will say that because there are several projects and studies in the process, and we don't know what the results will be, and these are like the Marina Master Plan or the Seawall Height Study, the Downtown Streetscape Plan, the Center for the Arts Master Plan, the Port Master Plan, we anticipate that this will be reopened maybe within 1 to 3 years when we know more from those other plans and how it may affect the waterfront parks or what the impacts would be. But right now, these are all just starting or in the middle, and we can't really tell how that will affect the waterfront master plans in the future.
Thank you. Very comprehensive presentation.
Ann Vikstrom from the City of St. Petersburg with a presentation on the Downtown Waterfront Master Plan, speaking last week at the St. Petersburg Downtown Neighborhood Association meeting. With audio provided by St. Pete DNA, you've been listening to live event coverage from Sunshine 96.7 FM, Radio St. Pete.